Chapter 2, Barriers to Communication. Aiming to achieve effective communication is one aspect, but actually doing so is another aspect. There are several barriers that can affect effective communication. When we talk of barriers to communication, what does it actually mean? Communication is not always successful. Several obstacles prevent the message from reaching to the recipient. The problem areas that can hinder or distort communication are called the barriers of communication. That means we focus now on several problem areas which are important to us, because those barriers could be a part of our lives. So we need to work towards developing ways and means to overcome barriers to communication. These barriers can cause information gaps. When we talk of any barrier, we will be discussing all the barriers today: physical barriers, semantic barriers, socio-psychological barriers. All these barriers cause information gaps. What does it ideally mean? That means somewhere, what I intend to say is not put forward appropriately. What I intend to say has not reached to you in the manner which you should understand. What I intend to say could not have or may not have lack of clarity. So, all aspects in relation to barriers of communication. Obstacles that prevent a message from reaching the intended recipient may be beyond the control of the concerned individuals. What are we trying to say here? Ideally, when you have an obstacle, that means the message is not reaching to the concerned person. Why? Because of a situation which is beyond your control. For example, say you are seated in a classroom, but there's a lot of noise elsewhere, outside. Maybe loud music. So, that is not in my control. And thus, that can create an obstacle or a barrier. Alright, now we discuss the physical barriers. First one being defects in the medium. For example, the telephone. If it is by chance a faulty instrument, then communicating may be difficult. The person may not be able to hear you. Postal system. Say at one point of time when we did not have internet, so you had a formal invitation sent to you at your address via the postal system. You realize that you haven't got the invitation and it reaches to you after the function is over. Why? Maybe due to some delay or some fault in the postal system. This is something which is not in your control. Same for failure in electronic medium, something which is not in our control and something which is external. Then you talk of noise in the environment. I just gave you that example sometime back, maybe loud music. So that ideally can be a barrier. Noise during transmission process carried by air vibration. Say you're seated in the car, your windows roll down. You realize that when you want to talk on the cell, of course you're not driving, you realize that when you want to talk on the cell, the air vibrations cause a lot of disturbance. So, ideally, that can be another barrier. Traffic, we all are aware, traffic can cause a major hindrance and a barrier as far as communication is concerned because of the noise which is created. Next one, information overload. Say, when you want to purchase a product, but you get information from all sides. You could get information via the internet. Since it's a high-end product, you do a lot of research. So, internet, then you probably manage to get the brochure. So, information from all sides. That could be too much information. And that, ideally, can work both ways. It can either give you clarity of thought as to what exactly you want to do, whether you want to purchase a high-end product or not, or it can also confuse you with information overload. Semantic. Semantic means pertaining or to arising from different meanings of words or symbols. When I say different meanings of words or symbols, What are we trying to say? Take the word value, V-A-L-U-E. What is the value of this bag? Here I mean price. Do you value my opinion? Both the sentences have the word value, but it means different for both these sentences. So when you talk of semantic barriers, it is related to meanings of words. The word yet is same when we're talking of the word value, but see how it can be used in different contexts. When you talk of semantic barriers, they arise because words mean different things to different people. So someone who's not very clear with what a word can mean in context with the sentence, then ideally a semantic barrier can arise. Language barrier. For example, you have decided to go abroad for further studies. But you also know that if you want to go there, you need to know that language. So, how do you overcome the barrier of language? Especially when you feel that it gets difficult for you to pick up another language at this juncture. So, age, education, cultural background, words having multiple meanings, technical terms, pronunciation, and stress on words. All these can cause semantic or language barriers. Technical terms, a concept or a term which you may understand and I may not. When you talk of pronunciation, for example, I am going out today, T-O-D-A-Y. But someone else may say, I'm going out today, or I'm going out to die. So, when you say I'm going out to die, it sounds different. Though the person means T-O-D-A-Y. So ideally, semantic and language barriers can actually not let the message reach the intent, message reach the recipient in an appropriate manner. Socio-psychological barriers. When we talk of socio-psychological barriers, psychological, that means it's linked to our judgments, biases, prejudices, our thought processes, which are of course having a combination of all aspects. When we talk of thought processes, it could be your ideas, views, opinions, but also judgments, biases, preconceived notions. Now, let us go in depth as far as socio-psychological barriers are concerned. Self-centered attitude. What do I mean by a self-centered attitude? Looking at everything from the viewpoint of my own interest. That means whatever I see it only from my point of view. I'm not really willing to focus or understand what somebody else wants to say or share. Group identification. When I say group identification, do you identify with a group? That means your values and opinions influenced by groups like family, relatives, locality. Then language can become a barrier. Now, how can we say that language can be a barrier as far as group identification is concerned? Say, you have gone abroad for a project, but you find it difficult to relate to people from other walks of life. Why? Maybe you find it difficult because you feel this is the first time you're relating to, say, one person who's an engineer in a group, you're relating to one person who's leading the technical team. So, relating to people from all walks of life. Maybe it could be linked to an extent, your own thought processes, your own low self-esteem, if at all any, or just the very fact that you are not comfortable identifying with people in the group. Somewhere, if you cannot identify or relate with people in the group, then you find it difficult to communicate. Take for example, your colleague. You'll get along well, but when it comes to being in a group, you find it difficult to put forward your ideas in front of him. Why? Maybe your colleague is far more successful than you. So what becomes a barrier? Communicating effectively, especially when others are around, it becomes difficult for you. Then self-image. our idea about what we are, how we perceive ourselves to be. When you talk of self-image, okay, if you feel that people constantly criticize you, if you feel that as far as feedback is concerned, people are not having a good view or idea as to what you actually wanting to communicate, or people are not supportive of your ideas, for example, then it may take a toll on your self-image. You need to understand that what you perceive yourself to be. It is extremely important to perceive or have a positive attitude, because a positive attitude is linked to a positive self-image and a positive self-esteem. When we talk of selective perception, when we talk of perception, it may or may result in not perceiving some of the aspects and information or content of the message. That means when someone, firstly, let's go to what perception is. When we talk of perception, we are discussing a project, but we both may have varied views on that project, because I look at it from one angle and you look at it from another angle. So when we say selective perception, ideally it may not result in you willing to perceive a situation in the same manner as the opposite person is. So that brings about a difference in thought processes and thus linked to your ideas, opinions, views. Now, defensiveness. So we are continuing with the socio-psychological barriers. If you realize how these barriers have an impact on us in our day-to-day lives, if you realize, probably all of us could either or maybe having one or the other barriers. So what we need to do is introspect and overcome these barriers. If we do not have any of these barriers, then of course it means we would be far more confident in life. Filtering. Filtering is a process of reducing the details or aspect of a message. When I say filtering is a process of reducing the details or aspect of a message, that means say information goes from person A to person B to person C, and person C to person D. By the time it reaches person D, the content is considerably reduced. And that's what filtering is. So, when the content is considerably reduced, what can take place? Maybe complete information or detail may not reach you. Maybe you could miss out on some important aspects. That is what filtering ideally means. Status block. Social and official status distance can create a barrier. When you talk of status block, probably a social distance. It could be a barrier to communication. Why? Because then you would find it difficult to relate to a lot of people whom ideally you should be able to relate with. But that social distance creates a rift, and thus communication may not really be there. Resistance to change. When you talk of resistance to change, mind is not willing to change. Maybe it's linked to your attitude. Attitude is the way you think, feel, behave. It's linked to your thought process. It's linked to your emotions. But that ability to change may be a language barrier. So when you talk of resistance to change, it is based on our attitude, our mindset. Continuing with socio-psychological barriers. When I say closed mind, that means somewhere I'm not taking a bird's eye view for various situation. I am actually not comfortable probably listening to what you wish to say. I'm actually not comfortable probably going in depth with what your ideas and thought processes are. I'm more focused as to what I feel or think is correct. When I talk of poor communication skills, it is extremely important that effective communication in terms of oral and written are appropriate. Very often when we have written communication, grammatical errors, structuring of the sentence, the expression and the style of the sentence, all this has to be monitored. State of health, physical condition like pain or fever, makes a person disinclined to engage in communication. Say if you're not well, it gets difficult to actually interact, it gets difficult to be more involved and enthusiastic, because a poor state of health will not make a person feel motivated or enthusiastic. So it becomes a barrier. Say it is a project whereby you want to get involved, but due to you not feeling well, you do not contribute 100% towards it. We now go to organizational barriers. When we talk of organizational barriers, the focus is in the communication which takes place within an organization. When we say organizational barriers, first and foremost, very often in organizations, there may be a delay as far as a message is concerned. When we say delay as far as a message is concerned, what are we putting forward? That if I communicate to my immediate subordinate, I do expect him to communicate to his subordinate as soon as possible. But due to certain reasons, it has not been communicated. Maybe my immediate subordinate does not attend or come to work for the next 2 days. So there's miscommunication, or rather no communication from my side to the other person. So organizational barriers cause delay in the movement of information, misinterpretation, lack of understanding. Very important that what I communicate, say if I'm at level A, if I communicate to level B, the same has to be communicated to level C. But filtering takes place, which we just discussed some time back. Maybe misunderstanding, when I put forward some details to level B, some sort of misunderstanding. So level B does not find it necessary to put forward all the information to level C. Negligence, filtration at every level. This ideally happens in most of the organizations. So it is extremely important that when I am absorbing information given to me through somebody else, I also look into one more aspect, that if I have to share that information with my subordinate, I should probably look at what is important also from his point of view or her point of view. That means though I'm putting forward all the communication given to me, I also need to realize that what is important to my subordinate and not only think from my point of view. Cross-cultural barriers. What is culture? That which is passed on from one generation to another. Cross-cultural factors increase the problem of communication. If for historical or political reasons the relationship between two countries is not cordial, then there can be communication problems. So ideally, when you talk of cross-cultural barriers, somewhere what we intend to communicate, the thought processes vary. So there could be a problem with communication, and the thought processes vary drastically. So it creates a barrier. Now, when we talk of cross-cultural barriers, let's take national character or basic personality. What do we mean by national character or basic personality? For example, in Japan, when they greet people, they bow down. That's the basic personality, or that's a trait which they probably always follow. So something to do with the culture. Then you talk of language. If two people from different cultures make an attempt to communicate, but they realize that language can be a problem. Why? Because both of them do not have a common language. So having a common language is very important. That means both can communicate only if they have a common language known to both of them. Values and norms of behavior. Values. When we talk of value system, it's ideally what may be considered correct for you may be considered incorrect for me, or vice versa. That means we both have a value system ingrained in us. Now, it could vary from culture to culture. How would that ideally be a barrier? We will discuss in depth when we talk of cross-cultural barriers. Social relationships, our relationships with family, our relationships with people in the organization, all these are an important aspect as far as cross-cultural barriers are concerned. Concept of time. Maybe when we talk of concept of time, ideally, what are we trying to say out here? That the focus could be, how does timing have an impact on us as far as culture is concerned or cross-cultural barriers are concerned? Maybe in many of the countries we have observed that people are far too punctual. Why? Because probably they feel that that is an important trait. Ideally, whichever country we belong to, punctuality is one trait which is always appreciated. Then we talk of concept of space. See, when you're interacting with somebody, what is the distance? In some countries, people have a minimum distance. In some countries, people have far too much distance while communicating. So, again, it depends on what is a set of values, views, thought processes which we have been inculcated with. Thinking process. When you talk of thinking process, there could be a difference in the thinking process as far as the Eastern and Western cultures are concerned. So, how does that have an impact as far as barriers are concerned? So, varied thought processes can create a difference because the thought processes vary to a great extent. Non-verbal communication, gestures, smile, frown, body language, all this is part of non-verbal communication. In probably some cultures, to look into the eyes or to have eye contact may not be considered very effective. Some cultures, it is appreciated. So, non-verbal communication. Perception. Our views may differ on a topic which ideally could be a common topic for us. But we have far too different views or thought processes or ideas as far as perception goes. Thus, in a global world, effective communication skills are vital to success. Thank you.